This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, g'day to all our Solomon Island listeners and welcome everyone to Neat and Footy, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Mikes and with me this week is the greatest Tongan to ever don the jersey for MMT. Will Hopewate is filling in for T as he's in Las Vegas. So thanks for jumping on, bro. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Sammy. It's good to be here and malolo lei to everyone. Some exciting things to cover. Today we'll talk about the past weekend, the NRL Las Vegas. Some Super Rugby Pacific games, including the men's and women's, and a guest, I suppose, my little brother.
No way. I love getting you on because that's a go-to. Hey, chances of one of the siblings jumping on? Yeah, leave it with me. Better you than me asking. But it is great to have you back. Vegas was a hit. Plenty of games happening. We also have Shelley Long back as well. She'll be covering the Jewelaroos game as well as the Super W round that just kicked off, round one. So some tight games in that one. And we can't wait to have our PNG Orchid superstar back. But let's get into it.
Moment of the week.
Yes, moment of the week. I thought we will stay in the theme of Vegas and see what was happening over there. And I just thought Sala Tongatuki was on fire both on and off the field. Will, did you manage to see what she got up to over there through all socials?
I did see a lot of the dancing and things like that. She was on fire.
She was on fire. Did you steal a couple of those moves? That's you back in the back pocket. In the back pocket. Yeah, her dancing on stage. It looked like a packed house where she was dancing and she did not hold back. She was also talking about her Samoan culture in an interview. I think it was to an American, social media type of platform where she was so proud to be representing Samoa in Vegas, her family, you know, playing rugby league, but also just really embracing everything that that was on offer. And I thought that was amazing to see her come out of her shell. Well, I don't think she's ever in her shell really, but just, yeah, really expressing herself. And then we saw guys like Brian To'o. The hamstring looked all right when he did that backflip, didn't it?
It looked more than all right. Yeah. Doing that. And I think, and speaking of, you know, Salah being proud to be Samoan, I seen an interview that Josh Papali'i did. Where they asked him, you know, how he saw himself, and he said first and foremost he's a proud Samoan, and you know he said 6'8" to the world, and it's good to see that these, you know, athletes, before the athletes, you know, their culture and their family come first, and they wanted to show that to the world.
I don't think T will be happy because he said Samoan first. He is Cook Islander as well. He didn't mention that in there.
Josh.
T's going to be fielding because they're trying to rope him in to play for the Cooks at some point. But, hey, as long as they're all repping their family and their culture with a lot of pride and passion over on the biggest stage of rugby league, they're doing a great job. So I thought that would be our moment of the week.
Hello, my name is Conor McGregor. Hello, my name is Lehi Abwate, and I'm listening to Neat and Footy.
It gets me every time. Every time I was like, I forgot all about it, but it gets me. But we'll start off with rugby league news and we'll head over to Vegas. What did you make of that, Will? You know, just the whole spectacle.
Yeah, well, the NRL has done a great job in making it such a spectacle and promoting the game of rugby league over in America. America's obviously in the US, big fish. If we can crack the market more over there, the better it will be for rugby league moving forward. But we had two great NRL games over there with the Raiders and the Warriors. I think for a lot of people, the Raiders surprised many. I think some had them to be, you know, not make the eight, and even some were tipping them to get the wooden spoon. And obviously it's too early days, it's only round one, but what they showcased over in Vegas, if they can continue to play like that, especially defensively, I think they're in for a big year. A number of Nisian players I thought were great. Speaking of Josh Papali earlier, I think he set the tone. If you've seen his kickoff, his hit up off the kickoff, just set the tone with the way he charged the ball back into the defensive line. And
has he dropped weight? he looks fit. Like on that interview, it looks like he's leaned up a bit. Yeah, he's leaned out.
And so I think he's obviously had a big preseason. And the older you get, the more you got to do the little one percenters and train a bit harder because the youngins are they're obviously coming through and want a spot. And so the old dog still got it. yes. He's still charging into everyone and still a handful. And I thought one person that stood out as well, he scored a try, was Matt Tomoko, if we can play that through.
Savage got the pass away, Hosking, then he links up with Timocor down the right wing. Timocor over the 30, beat Harris Avita. Ta-da, nobody else is at home. And once Matt Timocor strolled past Chanel Harris Avita, it was try time.
Matt Timocor, I think his rise to stardom has been unbelievable. He's fast-tracked himself to one of the premier centres of the competition. And I actually remember towards the back end of my career, he was coming through and I probably played him in his first couple games, and I could see even then that he was going to be something great. And just that try, it was sort of something out of nothing. His acceleration and just ability to create something out of nothing caused him to set his team up.
Yeah, he's a special talent. And when we think about the Warriors, I guess I don't think there's no bigger hype to a round one game ever. When you talk about not reading too much into it being round one, do you feel like the occasion, you know, this is just one of those one-offs where it's like we just didn't rise to the occasion because the distractions throughout the week and the Warriors will be right moving forward?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, potentially. I think obviously, you know, all four teams in Vegas and they're all trying to promote the game whilst at the same time trying to prepare and win the game. And so maybe that got the best of the Warriors. And keep in mind that, you know, they've lost Sean Johnson and Adam Fanua Blake, two key men in the backs and the forwards, which will take some time to, you know, to adjust to. So they didn't play their best game, but, you know, take nothing away from the Raiders. They played great. And in the other game, Penrith Panthers defeated the Cronulla Sharks 28-22. Those Panthers, Sammy, just a well-oiled machine, man.
Mate, how good were they? I probably underestimated the fact, because I went the Sharkies, but I probably underestimated the fact that they're so used to big build-ups. Yeah. Like, so they would have handled that week like nothing.
Yeah.
You know, whereas it was a bit of a do you feel like it was a bit of a shaky start for the Sharkies?
Yeah,
a couple of drop balls early, even though they scored early. Mm-hmm. But I just thought, I forgot they just would have handled that occasion so well.
It's just whoever comes in just into that team just does their job and that's all they need to do. You know, they got the glue of Cleary, Yeo and Edwards at the back and everyone else just does their role and they always just get the job done. And, you know, to lose a winger at the beginning of the game, I think it was the third or fourth minute, no coach or team plans for their winger to, you know, be subbed out. McLean got injured. Obviously, there was a shuffle in the lineup, but they just adjust and everyone knows their roles. It's just a great system. Cronulla did, though, fight back towards the back end and it came off the back of a great try by Adam Fanua Blake.
12 out, Brayley dummy half, goes left Fanua Blake, up the centre he goes, he's powering to the goal line, Fanua Blake, has he got it down? And he has, he's done it game after game, year after year as a Warrior, and now he does it as a Shark.
And what a try from Adam, something out of nothing, just sheer power and drive, just his little jink into space.
He's special, isn't he? Yeah. Do you remember Rodney Blake that played for the Wallabies?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, but back in the day through school and rep systems, like they used to call the 22-metre zone to the trial line the Blake zone, you know, just because I'd give him the ball and he'll just go and score. I feel like Adam Fanua Blake, that's the Blake zone for him in that 10 metres out.
Yeah,
because as soon as he gets to that late footwork power, but he's also showing as if he's going to ball play as well.
Right.
So he's just got everything
where
the defender just has to hold. They can't get up on him and he scores tries like that.
And, you know, that's why he's, you know, being donned by some as the best prop in the game. And it's a big call too because you got, you know, the likes of Payne Haas and Tino, the Titans, and, you know, and he is right up there. Like, and he scores these tries. It's becoming normality.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
But it's not normal.
It's not.
Yeah, so
to have, to be able to show, go, step, fend, bump, have everything.
Yeah.
It's special.
It definitely is. And so two great games over in Vegas with Rugby League and hopefully the Americans are loving it and I'm sure the players are hoping that the NRL contracts can be like the NFL.
You know when they talk about the NFL players, would you try Rugby League? And they're like going, oh, yeah, I would, but I'm not taking a 400% pay cut
exactly
to get hit like that. No way. But one before we move on to rugby union, would you love to see a Tonga Samoa test match over there? Do you think it would go off?
I think it'll go off. Yeah, yeah. I think the Polynesian population in the United States is huge, especially in Utah, if they did play it over there. But even in Vegas, Vegas is not too far from Utah. And a people that I know travel from, you know, Utah over to Vegas. And, yeah, I think it'll go off.
Hopefully that could be, you know, it's a five-year plan or three to go now. Maybe in the fifth year there could be something like that.
Talk to Uncle Pete.
Uncle Pete, sort it out, son, sort it out. But we'll head over to Rugby Union now, and it was round three, done and dusted, of Super Rugby Pacific. And again, last-minute victories and absolute heartbreak for the teams that did lose. Did you manage to see any of the games, Will?
Not too much, to be honest. Yeah, I mean,
wouldn't expect anything less from my rugby league people that come on this show. T gives me the same answers all the time. But, you know, it was culture round as well, round three. And I thought, and we'll start there, and I thought every team did an amazing job celebrating the diverse cultures within their teams throughout the week in preparation. And just seeing the photos of players in their traditional attire, you know, having the Fijian, Samoan, Tongan or PNG flags wrapped around their shoulders, and some of the stories that were being showcased too around the players' families. You know, Daniela Tupou, they did a really good piece on him, you know, coming from Tonga and his family and how much it means to him, and especially when he played for Australia A at Dilfava Stadium against Tonga and that one leading into the World Cup. You know, it was great to see that side of the game being showcased, you know, before a special round. So a big shout out to all the teams. I thought they did a beautiful job getting that out there. Into the footy, we'll start with Moana Pacifica. They took on the Highlanders in their first home game of the year. Did you manage to see what they were wearing, though? Surely you saw it. Yeah, okay, we'll start there. They were wearing the OG red, white and blue Pacifica jerseys, paying tribute to the very first All-Pacifica team that played the Wallabies and the All Blacks back in 2004. Guys like Filippo Levi, Lome Fa'atau, Brian Lima, Sione Lewaki, Tane Tuipulotu, Serene Bobo, Sitveni Sivivatu.
There's some names.
They're the names that played in that game, and just seeing Moana Pacifica led out by Artie Savea, you know, onto their first home game of the year. I thought that was special. Absolutely loved it. And they also performed their new Tau Moana, which replaced the old Fa'avai they used to perform before the game. And we had the great man Tana Umanga, you know, talking about, you know, what it means to perform something new for Moana Pacifica. Let's see what he had to say.
Moana Pacifica!
We have an original Fa'avai that was created and performed right at the inception of Moana Pacifica. And, you know, that was great. You know, that was just showcasing, you know, we represent all the Pacific Islands. Our language within that showcases that. And it was really connection piece. Now we want to challenge, you know, the norms of, you know, people's perceptions of us, of our people.
Yeah, I thought that was well done by Moana Pacifica. Spine tingling stuff. And then as they started the game, maybe there was a bit too much emotion into that performance, because it definitely wasn't the start they were looking for. Come kickoff, we just saw, you know, the Highlanders. They scored within the first 2 minutes of that game. And when I mentioned last week where Moana leaked in most of their points, it's around the first three to four phases, like from a scrum or a line-out set piece. And that's exactly what happened. You know, they did a really good job at stopping the line-out more when the Highlanders tried to drive. But as soon as the Highlanders went wide, they just scored in the corner straight away. So they didn't get their numbers right. They didn't get their detail right in terms of where they needed to position themselves. And the Highlanders went up 7-0 straight away after 2 minutes. But they found their way back not too long after. I love seeing props score tries.
How good.
It's the best thing. The only better thing is a second rower scoring a try. So just that type five. Muffy Leo, he scores. And then William Havili scores as well. But William Havili doesn't convert those tries, though. They'll kick a ball, and that end up being pretty costly for the final result. Mm. was also a bit of a messy 15-minute period for Moana as well. You know, they ended up, you know, going down at halftime, like being down 31 points to 10. But then it was their skipper, 134 Super Rugby caps of experience, Adi Savea. Honestly, he just must have had one of those moments where it's like,
Jump on the back,
get behind me. Like this, the only way I'm going to lead, it's not about talking, it's about I just need to do me, make some big moves here. And that's what he did. 5 minutes into halftime, he leaps up and catches this contestable ball, comes down, sprints 40 metres and scores a try. Then have you seen Tava Tava Nawe, the centre for the Highlanders?
No.
Sort of built like your brother.
Okay.
You know, like short, stocky, built. He's been running amok the last 3 weeks. And
was that when Artie stopped him?
Stopped him twice. Two big hits.
I've seen those.
Yeah,
like
the first hit was solid. And then I just think from there, the players absolutely fed off that that energy. And the comeback was on. William Havili scores his second try. Semisi Tupou Tailoa, he scored from one of the best tap moves you will ever see, 5 metres out. It was pure class. And then my cousin Patrick Pellegrini on debut, he converts that try and it's 31-29, 5 minutes to go. Himi 114 was going around the speakers at the stadium. Like, it was cool seeing Fijians and Samoans sing it as well. Yeah, so it's become that popular from rugby league, from Tonga playing. That was, and they were on their feet, but it just wasn't to be. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they were still theirs to win. You know, they missed a couple
It's their start, right?
It's their start.
Got to fix their start. Speaking of Ari, I don't know if you've seen the clip where the post-match interview.
Yes, I did.
Where he,
how cool is that,
got up and said a praise. He's just a leader among men, isn't he?
Man, he's just doing him, hey. And everyone's like, yeah, oh, bro, that's never happened before in a press conference. After, yep, thanks, yep, this is it.
So he's leading before on you go, and off the field,
Before you go, I'm just going to say a prayer. I can only imagine some of the journalists in there like looking around.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on here? But that's what he's done, and I feel like hopefully that's a bit of a turning point for them. We'll go over to the Waratahs versus the Drua game in Sydney. Again, another tight loss for the Drua, going down 29-24. That's three games in a row where they've lost by a try or less. That's tough. I thought that, oh, man. And
what do you think it is, Sammy?
There's a couple of little things just not going their way. Yeah. Like it's not the way they're playing in terms of their game plan's wrong or they're missing too many tackles or anything like that. It's the finest of moments that are costing them, like taking kickoffs cleanly.
Yeah.
Just that one thing. A not straight line out or just a little error. And it's just becoming.
Those little things add up, right?
Little things are adding up. But in terms of everything around the way that they are playing, they could be 3 from 3 right now. They honestly could.
That's tough.
It's tough. Like, and it's all gone down to the wire where they've lost those games. And if we look at the way the Waratahs played, it was a clear game plan from there. And they were just putting up contestable kicks, you know, testing out their back three. They wanted that 50-50 contest in the air because what the Waratahs were trying to do is either get the ball back, or if they did catch it, the Drua players did catch it, flood that breakdown, make it slow, try and get a turnover because all the Drua players will be in front of the ball and they've got to try and come back around their winger or their fullback to secure that ball, whereas the Waratahs are coming forward and they can get a set line. And it didn't work the first couple of times because it spilled out. And then Logani Massi, man, I think he's like 6'4" winger, just scooped it up and scores a try. But it did work in the long run because the first half, 81% territory for the Tars. And they entered their 22-meter scoring line 8 times as opposed to the Drua. They only got in there twice.
Oh, right.
So all their tries or anything that had to try and happen had to come from long range. And but that's a positive for them because that's a growth of how they've matured over the years. In the past, if they got into that boring kicking battle or anything like that, they would have
buckled,
and they would have tried something flashy.
Yeah, out of the system.
Out of the system.
Yeah,
exactly. And the mistakes would have come, and teams, you know, would score plenty of late points. But they hung tight. I mean, they stayed in there.
That's what happens when pressure builds, right? Players do things out of the ordinary.
Out of system.
If you're coach of the Drua and you've, you know, lost these couple games by short margins, how are you trying to uplift the boys?
That's a great question. You know, it's one of those ones where you've got to make sure you're giving the team confidence that what they're doing is actually working.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they need to try and chuck the whole game plan out the window. So it's just, again, about finding how do they – for me, it's about connection. And I think when they go back to Fiji this week, they've got a tough game against the Chiefs who are on fire. It's about just galvanizing together as a group, you know. What are the – not the X's and O's. You know, how do we connect, you know, through – you know, faith is a big one of this. You know, how do we connect? How do we connect with our fans? How do we just have a feed together? Just get that energy and stick in tight. Yeah. That's what I believe works.
Yeah, and you can imagine if they win this game, be the turning point of their season, right, against the Chiefs. Like,
they've got their bonus point wins. Last year they got no losing bonus points. This time they've got all losing bonus points but no win. So I think it's a crucial game. I think this could – you're right, this could be a turning point this week when they get back to Fiji. In the sugar city of Lotoka, they've got a really good record there, and it's going to be tough coming up against the Chiefs. So – hopefully our Pacific Island brothers, their win is not far around the corner for them. But that's all from me. On the men's side, we're going to get to Shelley Long to hear about the Super W and the Jewelaroos in Vegas.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, joining us for the very first time in 2025 is Shelley Long. She's represented PNG. She's played in the NRLW and she's recovering her knee that she going through a rehab, but it's great to have you back on, Shelley. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to see you.
Thanks, guys. I love jumping on, and I'm so excited for the first. The first episode of the year.
Off to a flying start. Great start. But firstly, it has been a few months. You know, we did mention the knee injury, the ACL. Like, how's everything going on your end?
Yeah, it's going well. You know, I was progressing quite well at the beginning of my ACL journey, and unfortunately kind of regressed a little bit in the last couple of weeks. Had a lot of knee pain, and that pushed me back on the progress a little bit. But, you know, I'm slowly getting better now, and I'm hoping that soon running will be a thing for me. So my fingers are crossed, and I'm looking forward to that.
But let's start with some footy. The Jewelaroos put on an absolute clinic against England. What did you make of that one?
Oh, I thought the Jewelaroos, you know, they've been known for being such great sportswomen in the game of NRL and rugby league, sorry. And I think that they really demonstrated why they are top of the lead in terms of rugby league. So 90-4, unfortunately for England, you know, that's their first hit out in quite some time against Australia, and I don't think that they were quite prepared for it. And it's unfortunate that it was also in Las Vegas, one of our first ever time that women's sport was ever played at that stadium, and also the first time that women's rugby league was played there as well.
Do you think that affects the support of women's rugby league over there in the States with a score like that, or what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think so, because I think in the Nines tournament there was quite a lot of great competitions going on for the women's rugby league tournament. And as well as that, I think as well it's one game. I think the physicality was still there. England showed up definitely. A lot of strong tackles, a lot of strong runs. So I think that kind of goes to show that the game is still quite physical. It's something that Americans love. You know, they love their which is a physical game, and they've just then gone and seen the women do exactly kind of what they like to see. So hopefully it doesn't deter them into watching our sport.
I know that, yeah, people probably would have loved to have seen a tighter contest, but out of the 400 tries that were scored, which one was your favourite?
I definitely have to say Tiana Penatani's try. She had an exceptional season last year, and I think she just demonstrated why she's built for that centre position.
Off the Kezia, she makes the break. That's away from 1-2. She's still going, Kezia, to within 10. She's dragged down. Great chase from Davies. Absolute play at last play, 5 out. Across from dummy half, Higgins to the right hand side. Penatani slips the tackle and goes in to score.
What else did you love about that game? What else, you know, from seeing that and seeing like our Pacifica players on display in Vegas?
I think it was a great representation. We had a lot of girls from our Pacific be able to represent the Jewelaroos, and I think Sulla talked about it really well. She said, you know, there isn't a lot of us, but there is a few of us in this team, and that's what matters the most, that there's representation within the Gillaroos. And whilst she's representing Australia, she's also representing where she's from. And I think that was something that was really well said, and something that's very true. You know, you can represent both, and I think that's something that she's really shown that you can do that.
And Shelley, there wasn't a scoreline that big in the Pacific Championships last year. Do you think that gives confidence to the Polynesian, the Pacific teams, to come up against the Gillaroos?
100%, I think it does. England has a Super League, which we're quite familiar with, and sometimes a lot of players will go over there to play. But for our Pacific nations, they don't necessarily have that system in place yet, or that pathway yet for women's rugby league. So, for instance, Tonga and Samoa, a lot of their players are based here in Australia, but there's no set competition yet, or NRLW as such over there. So I think it gives a lot of confidence boosters to all those teams going into any games like against New Zealand or Australia.
And Shelley, the girls obviously got a bit of a break now before preseason kicks off again and the Origin. What do you think they're doing now in terms of, you know, preparing for the year or where the headspace is at the moment?
I think for those Gillaroo girls, you know, you'll still be training. It's still pre-season in their minds. But I think that it's been a long season. It's the first time where we had a lot more matches in the Pacific Championships. Mm-hmm. And then on the back of it, you've had All-Stars and then gone into Las Vegas. So I think a little break would probably be what they'd need. Rest the bodies, rest the mind, still tick away at the boxes behind the scenes, but then so that they're prepared for the season up and coming soon.
It's such a tough format for the girls in the way you need to prepare. You're preparing your very first game of the year to be a test match. Then you've got to come down from that, sort of do your own training or twice a week at club, then get back up probably for an Origin game, come back down, back into round one. Yeah, there's a fair bit happening, and hats off to the female game and the players to be able to do that, because I reckon if it was on the other side of the coin, there'll be a lot of complaints, I reckon. But we'll go over to Super W. Kicked off, Drua beat the Waratahs 23-17, and your old teammate absolutely killed it in that game.
Oh, Vitalina Naikore, she was incredible. Great person, love her. But she was outstanding for the Fijian draw on the weekend, vice captain as well. And I think she really put her hand up for that position out there, scoring within 10 seconds of the game. I think it actually was 8 seconds, like 8 to 9 seconds.
Is that a record?
It's a record for the women's game. But if it's 8 seconds, I think that will match the men's game as well. Fastest try in Super Rugby history.
It's incredible. Like, and I think, you know, when I watched that game, which I actually didn't think I would watch, all the girls at the boarding school that I work at said that they wanted to watch that game. So I put it up and it meant that I got to watch it too, which is great. But I think the draw just came out with this energy about them, you know, Vitalina scores within 10 seconds and then they're on a roll. And I think the Waratahs, they just got taken back a little bit by, you know, the first 10 minutes, there was a lot of handling errors and a bunch of unnecessary penalties, which really sucked the energy out of them. And I think they were a bit rattled by the Drua's energy, to be honest.
There were some big hits in that game too. If you saw on debut, winger Nakodi's hit on, I think it was on the outside centre, Anderson, like bone rattler, straight on the ribs. And then there's a big clash between Bohiva, the prop for the Waratahs, and Anna Korovata. They came, you know, locked horns together. So there was some, it was physical as well.
Yes. And I will say, Bohiva was one of my favorites for that Waratahs game. I loved her fatality. I loved how the Drua and her were going at it. And she got back up and she just kept going again. And, you know, that's the things that we love to see in the game. But she was outstanding off the bench for the Waratahs.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Hopefully there's good signs ahead for the Fijian Drua moving forward in the competition. It's a bit of a sprint. Moving over, we'll go the Force and the Brumbies, 29-all with all the superstars in the Force team.
Oh, I thought it was a really good game, but definitely try for try, nail-biting game. I love to watch it, though. I thought Faitala Moleka was great for them in terms of the kicking. Unfortunate, though, in that last one, it slung a little bit to the left of the post and it didn't seal the deal for the Brumbies, but I think they'll take a lot of confidence out of it knowing that they did really well to control the Western Force's star-studded team.
And week one's obviously done in the Super W. Which team has impressed you and why?
Oh, I definitely have to say the Fijian Drua. They were to watch. And I'm not biased, guys. But
not biased at all.
Hey, I am all the time when it comes to the Drua and Moana Pacifica in my tipping contest that shows. But anyway, no, you do you. You do you. If you want to be biased, you do you.
I just, you know what, I think I was absolutely amazed with their performance on the weekend. And, you know, last year in the grand final, they had an unfortunate loss to the Waratahs. It was quite a substantial loss as well. And I think they really used that to come back this season and show them why the Waratahs have only lost to the Drua in this competition. So they're definitely one keep eyes out on.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I think we said last week it's going to be a tight competition, this one. There's a lot of talent spread across those teams. So it's going to be an exciting finish, I feel, when it comes to that point of the season. We should also mention as well, obviously it's not a game that's that goes towards Super W, the results, the points, but Panina Pacifica played the Queensland Reds. It was obviously a big score, but again, it was 60-7 to the Reds. But again, another amazing pathway for Pacifica females to aspire to go through.
Oh, 100%. And I think, you know, it was a culture round as well in the Super W. And I think that really demonstrated how important it is to the players after that game. When the Reds and the Panina Pacifica played each other, they ended up ending it in a inner circle and doing a hymn, and people from the grandstands actually joined in on that hymn. So, you know, it just gives me goosebumps, but it reminds us why it's so important and how culture definitely plays a part in who we are and who we are as players as well. But also to mention that there, within that Reds team, there was two prior Panina Pacifica players that actually moved on from that team into the Reds through the pathway now set. So that was incredible to see as well.
Yeah, it's already having that immediate impact, isn't it? If it's not with Panina Pacifica, it's in other franchises as well. Shelley, it's great to have some professionalism back on the show for once. Looking forward to having you back on week to week. Getting all the insides and all the inside
gossip. Shelley, one more thing.
Yeah, go
before
for
we
it.
Go, Shelley. We're at the beginning of the Super W. Obviously, the NRLW hasn't started. If you were to wave your magic wand, who's taking out the Super W and who's winning NRLW?
Oh, good one.
Okay. I think we could tell who I'm going to say for Super W.
Yep.
But
that's a given.
Yeah, Andrew, that's a giveaway. And I think NRLW, the Roosters, I don't know how they do it, but they've been doing it for a little while. They've got a very strong team, and I think the Warriors now coming in, they've got a lot of home base strength and talent over there that hasn't been fully recognised yet.
A lot of players, the Warriors.
But that could be quite interesting to see.
Thank you, Shelley. We look forward to seeing you next week having a yarn.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.
It's Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinida Arona.
Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Hopuate family has to be probably one of the most talented sporting families, I think, in history with the amount of superstars they have produced over the years. And today we're very lucky to have another one of their siblings joining us here on Nation Footy. He didn't make the trip to Vegas because he wanted to be here with us doing an interview. No, I'm only joking, but he joins us right now. Albert Hopuate, Maro Dalava, thanks for joining us, bro. Appreciate it.
No, good. Thanks for having me.
Happy
to have a yarn with the boys.
Well, it's always good roping your brother in to fill in for Tinida Arona, who's over in Vegas, because we always, it's easy to get a guest. You just get one of your brothers or sisters to jump on for us. But speaking of Vegas, we'll jump in there. Canberra Raiders, that's your team, part of the squad, didn't travel over, but what did you make of their performance on the weekend? It was a great win.
Yeah, 100%. The boys, I reckon our defense was pretty solid the whole game. and we just built off the back of our defense.
And Albert, you obviously didn't go to Las Vegas. Maybe you want to share with our listeners the reason why you didn't go.
Yeah, well, me and my wife are expecting our first baby any time now. So, yeah, I just didn't want to miss, especially as a firstborn. I wanted to, yeah, chose to stay and to be here with my wife. But baby hasn't come out yet, so we're still waiting.
Oh, no, wait. Yeah, how far past the due date is she?
Her due date is Wednesday, and the boys come back on Wednesday. Yeah, I just didn't want to risk. Just in case she had it early, just didn't want to take that risk. I wanted to, yeah, be here.
You know, when you, I guess it's not really your planning, but sort of planning. When I was planning our child with my wife, when we could have it, we got to have it before the season kicks off. So if we're going to do the deed, we got to have it 9 months beforehand. So I can't miss out on the season. Did you have those kind of chats with your wife around, this is probably the best time that we should have baby, not too far into the season? Or just let nature take its course?
We'll just freestyle and we'll just go on with the flow. Like, whatever happens, happens.
Freestyle.
Yeah, just whatever happens, happens, and whatever comes, you know, is a blessing. So, yeah.
Are you going to go down the leaf of your parents' book and your brother here, you're going to have 400 kids as well, or are you just going to see how this one goes?
Yeah, I'm aiming for 12 to beat that.
Freestyle, I guess.
Father Abraham.
No, we'll see how the bank goes first.
Yeah, true, true.
And Albie, seasons are well and truly underway. Talk to us. I think every player, ex-player, when preseason is finished, it's probably one of the happiest moments in an athlete's career. Talk to us about the preseason in Canberra that's just gone by.
Yeah, obviously, preseason is preseason. Obviously, it's very tough. But you can see from the game yesterday how fit the boys were. And shows how much training we've been doing in the preseason. All the con and contact and everything. So, obviously, it paid off. And the boys, off the back of all the hard work, finally paid off yesterday.
Yeah, I don't miss those preseason days, that's for sure. It's a tough grind getting up. Body's absolutely stinging. For yourself, you had some of the games that you played last year, like they were outstanding. You seem like, even just looking at you now, you got traps touching your ears. Massive. But, you know, what are your biggest strengths, do you feel, that you bring to the game?
Don't get fooled by the muscles. They do nothing. I just try to have a strong work rate. Try to, you know, those yardage carries, always trying to help out the boys and like covering tackles or scrambling. Indeed, just all those little efforts, I just try to base my game off that. Because I'm obviously not the strongest and not the fastest.
This year, you obviously wanted to play more games consistently in first grade. Tell us the experience you had at the beginning of last year with the barbecue, for those that don't know.
This is negative aura, but I was at one of the boys' house. We were just having a barbecue for dinner, and he left the canola oil spray.
Yep.
He left that underneath the barbecue. But I didn't know, and obviously just barbecuing away, and the spray can caught fire and sort of blew up and got my arm in the way. And I missed 3 weeks because of it. Just had to let the skin heal so it wouldn't get infected. Otherwise, if it got infected, I would have to get skin grafts and all that. So just to avoid that. So I learned my lesson, no more barbecues.
Man, that could have obviously been a lot worse than just, obviously the burns on the arm would have been sore and would have been painful, but that could have been so much worse. What was it like telling Ricky Stewart that's what went down and you're going to have to miss 3 weeks because one of the boys left the canola oil under the barbecue? Was he filthy?
Yeah, no, he was all right, to be honest. He said it was just like an unlucky incident. But when it happened, I didn't want to tell him because I knew I would have to miss out on a couple of games. So I tried to keep on the low, but it was just in too much pain. I had to call the club doctor and he helped me out, and then he's the one that told Stick.
How long did you leave it? How long?
Captain's run.
We had dinner. Like, my arm was burning while I was eating, but I needed to eat. And I went to the emergency room at the hospital nearby later that night, and it was packed in there. I don't know why, but it was packed, and I was like, oh, I can't, it's too much pain. So I called the club doctor at like 9:30 at night, and he told me meet him at his office, and he sort of put some stuff on it, bandaged it up, gave me the green whistle, which helped, and some tablets.
Good old green whistle. And you said that stick was obviously quite understanding of it. You would have been playing in yesterday's game had, you know, you not be having baby with Bella. Tell us what it was like telling Sticky of your decision to stay and how he took that, how understanding he was.
Yeah, me and my wife were talking about it for a while before I told Stick. And, you know, Bella, she was, you know, I love her and respect her because she was telling me to go because she, you know, she understands, you know, my dreams and goals as a footy player, and you know, I love and respect that about her. But I was the one that wanted to stay because obviously being the firstborn, and I just wanted to be here for her as well. And before I asked Stick, I asked the older boys like Josh Papali, Joe Tappany, asked them what they would do if they were in my shoes, and they said they'll stay. So that made, you know, my decision easier. So when I went and spoke to Stick, yeah, and shout out to Stick as well. He was pretty good about it because he understood, you know, the importance of family. You know, he has kids as well, so he took it pretty well and said, and he made me stay as well, even if I wanted to go.
When I talked to a lot of the ACT Brumbies boys coming through the years, they always said the best thing about Canberra and the Brumbies was the environment was very based around family. You know, they looked after each other because everyone probably moved from somewhere and that was their little bubble. And that's why they wanted to stay down there. For yourself, how important is family as part of the values at the Canberra Raiders? And is that why you love that place so much at the moment?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Stick wants this to be like our family away from family. So, you know, for heaps of the boys here, family comes first, and Stick, you know, understands that and respects it, which makes, you know, everything much easier. And, I love that about Canberra, which is why if I can stay, I'll love to stay here.
And growing up, Albert, not many people know some of the challenges you had coming through as a junior, especially with your injuries. And throughout any player's career, there's always ups and downs. You had some pretty deep downs in your juniors where you had back-to-back ACL injuries. Was it your second game back from your first one? You done your ACL again?
Yeah.
Second, yeah. So talk to us about that. Obviously, first time is heartbreaking, but to do it in your second game back, talk to us about your mindset, how you were feeling, and the whole experience.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, footy comes with injuries. So the first one was definitely heartbreaking, but the second one just hurt even more. It was that my second game back, taking my first carry, I did my same ACL on the same knee. It obviously, still haunts me to this day how much it impacted me, especially at a young age. You sort of take everything, you know, to heart. And I remember Will taught me, my physio called Will, and Will was the one that broke the news to me when I done my second ACL, and I just cried straight away for ages. I just couldn't stop crying. And, yeah, obviously some dark places my mind was at coming back from my second ACL. But, yeah, as time got on, just being around family and friends and my rehab coach at the time, Cam Ferguson, and the boys there, Lock and Croker and stuff, they sort of helped me find my feet again. And, you know, now I'm enjoying my footy and, you know, I'm just looking forward now.
Knowing that you had someone like Will and your other brothers and family members, your faith with you, how much did that help with getting back to where you are today?
Yeah, growing up in my household is always God first and then family, then footy. So having that priority away from footy sort of definitely helped give me a perspective that footy's not everything. You know, I still got my faith, still got my family, but still obviously a very tough thing to go through.
Speaking about looking forward, what are some of your goals and aspirations this coming season?
Firstly, just becoming a dad. That's sort of my, just try to be the best father I can be. And then footy-wise, just try to play as much NRL games as I can. Last year, I was sort of in and out of NRL and this World Cup. So sort of, yeah, a goal just to try to fight for my spot every week in the NRL team and yeah, just see how that goes.
You said you're about to become a dad. Can you talk to us about the great dad that you have and any stories that come with it growing up?
Oh, this should be good.
I don't know where to start. There's a lot of stories about that bloke. Before every game, growing up as a kid, before I would hop out of the car, he would point at me and say, "Don't waste my time." That was always his inspirational speech. And then I remember under 12 or 13, we had a tournament in Newcastle, and I fractured my collarbone in one game. And it was a gala day, so I had to back up and play the next game, play the whole game with a fractured collarbone. And my dad thought I was carrying on, so after the game, took me to the underground car park and gave me a few love taps. And then we got scans 2 days later and found out my collarbone was fractured, and he just said, "Oh, sorry, son." And that's it.
Oh, so we've had Lehi on, he talked about the time he just got that little party on the back of the head, just saying, "Hey, get involved." Pani came on and said for her debut game, got a text message from him just before she ran out saying, "Hey, have you paid your rent?" Yeah. You've said, "Don't waste my time." Oh my goodness. I'm just thinking what the grandkids might get as well if they come through. But all jokes aside, like, you know, watching him play, watching your brother play, and watching everyone play and growing up, now, how cool is it just to see that your whole family just followed in the footsteps of your dad? And yes, everyone went on their own different way, but he set the tone early on what it was like to what you need to do to play at the highest level. What's that like for you, seeing that and growing up with it?
Yeah, obviously very special. And you know, everywhere we go, we see, you know, people talking to dad, coming up to dad. But it was different as well, because we didn't see dad as like this famous footy player superstar. We just saw him as dad. It was like, "Oh, what's so special about this bloke? He's just a normal bloke that was catching trouble."
And I've asked Lehi and Bunny, but with, you know, you're coming through the ranks and you know, Jamil's made his debut. I've made my debut. Dad obviously played professionally as well. Did you feel any pressure or certain expectations that you had to make it because your older brothers and dad made it, or you sort of just took it how you wanted to?
Yeah, to be honest, I probably took it how I wanted it. That's probably one of the good things I took from dad, was I don't really care what anyone else thinks. Just worry about myself and do what I can. Yeah, but it was always my dream to play in a role, just because I saw dad and my brothers, you know, playing. Yeah, I didn't feel any expectations, to be honest. That was just always my dream as a kid, and you know, I'm grateful to be living my dream, yeah.
You haven't come up against Lehi yet, have you?
No, not yet.
He was telling us that everyone's going to be supporting Manly, the whole family, when that time does happen. But what do you think it's going to be like, you know, coming up against your brother? Because would you be on the same side?
He played most on the left and I play left. So if he plays right, hopefully he plays right.
Oh, so what round would that be? Round three. That's at Brookie Oval too, round three.
Round three.
Canberra and Manly. So,
shucks.
Okay, so there we go. Have you thought much about it? What's it like coming up against your brother? And is it like, "I'm going to get you back for all those other times?" Or is it just, you know, you just focus on prep as normal?
Yeah, obviously, yeah, it would be a special moment for our family. But I don't know. I'll probably just laugh at him, but I'll probably low-key want to take his head off too.
Well, I think one of my proudest moments in rugby league was actually I got to play against Albert. Albert was what, a couple games into your career?
Yeah.
At three Manly.
Really?
Yeah, three or four games. And yeah. So I was at the Dogs. Albert was at Manly, and like Lehi said, everyone was going for Manly. and so that was probably one of my proudest moments, was being able to play against Albert. I was playing at the back, so I didn't get to do any tackling, which was good. So we didn't cross paths too many times. But I remember running out onto the field and he was standing there on the wing, and I was just like, "Hey, how are you going?" Like, this is surreal. Like, we're actually playing in an NRL game. And because I'm 8 or 10 years older than Albert. So yeah, to play against my little brother was such a special moment for myself and for our family.
Does mum and dad bring that up throughout the week, or anyone bring it up throughout the week of prep? Because I know you guys are prepping and you're professionals.
Oh, there's plenty of banter.
But so is there banter on the group chats and stuff like that?
Yeah, there's plenty of banter.
Any old runes get brought up too? Remember that time when we were eight? Like, anything like that come up?
That's how we share our love in our house. It's just all banter and all tough love in the Hopewadi household.
Mum came to the game in she custom made a jersey or shirt where it was half Manly, half Bulldogs sewed up. I don't know how she did it, but that was pretty cool. And everyone else was just wearing either Manly gear or Tongan gear.
Yeah. Tongan gear is safe, yeah? Stay neutral. Yeah, perfect. Well, just on Tonga, should know this, but have you played for Tonga yet?
No, not yet.
Is that something that you'd love to do, especially play with your brother this time rather than against him?
Yeah, 100%, especially since the 2017 World Cup. That's just made my desire to play for Tonga, you know, even stronger. So hopefully I get the chance to, but yeah, I've got to do my job here at the club first. But hopefully if that opportunity comes, yeah, I'll take it with both hands, especially playing with my brother too. That'll be even more special.
Well, Kaz, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you, and we appreciate you taking the time out of training and chatting with us. Honestly, bro, can't wait for round three. Hopefully there'll be fireworks everywhere in that game, but wish you all the best for the season. Hope you stay injury free and you absolutely kill it, and we get to see you wear that red jersey. Much love. Ofalahi atu.
Malobate.
Thanks for having me.
This is Nation Footy.
Give me three answers for this one.
I like how you're nodding your head over there, Will. It's a good tune. It's a great intro. So I will explain it to you first, just so you've got a bit of context around it. And basically, we choose a category. 3 points are up for grabs, and you just need to get all three right. So the category could be, give me three, I don't know, Tongan internationals that have played rugby, and you just got to give me three players.
All right.
Okay.
So I'm representing T.
You're representing you and and T. Yeah, T. So he's going to be filthy. That's why I need to make it hard.
I was going to just say sorry to T in advance. Sorry, T, if you're listening.
Yeah. No, he'll be right. He will be right. That's what I was saying. It's hard but easy. And if you remember me saying some of the OG names, so it's probably easy.
Okay.
Give me three of the OG Pacifica players from that 2004 team that I mentioned earlier in the show.
Was Rupeni the other one?
No.
Sorry, T. Sam Tuitupou?
No.
All right.
Surely just think of one of the greatest ever Samoan players. He played like 5 World Cups, just to help you out here. deep thoughts here.
I'm actually just trying to remember what you said.
Yeah, I know. I wish T was here because I would have done the same thing to him, and then he would have been, but at least you're having a crack. He'd be complaining the whole time.
Oh.
Just think big hits. The chiropractor. His nickname, the chiropractor. Oh, he still doesn't know.
I have no idea.
Oh,
sorry, T.
All right. What about number 8? May he rest in peace. But one of the best number 8s running around. He's the big Tongan fella. Had a brother that played for the Warriors as well.
Sione Lawaki.
Sione Lawaki. There we go. There's 1 point for you, bro. Okay.
I got you one, T.
So it was Brian Lima who I was talking about. Oh, Brian Lima. Yes, you know. Tane Tuipolotu, Sirilin Bobo, Sitiveni Sivivatu. So there were some ones in there that you should have got. But anyway, that's our time up for another week on Mondays. Make sure you tell your mates about Nation Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. See you on Friday. Thanks, Will. Thanks, bro. I appreciate your time, bro. I hope you come back soon.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.